Again at the Macedonian Primitive Baptist Church. I think we'll begin by having prayer. So
yes, sir.
That's okay. We'll pray to the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it's once again, Lord, we come to Thee in prayer, desiring, Lord, from the depth of our hearts to call upon Thee, the great God of heaven and earth, to thank Thee, Lord, for this church and for this opportunity we have to be here gathered together in spirit and in truth to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're thankful, Lord, for each one that has brought themselves out under gloomy weather, but we forced ourselves through the weather, and we're here for no other purpose but to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We're thankful, Lord, for this opportunity. We're thankful, Lord, for each one that's brought themselves out to this way, we trust, to worship Thee, Lord. And we're thankful for this church and for each one that makes it up. And we ask that You would continue to bless it and add to her daily such as should be saved. And Lord, as we now look unto Thee, we ask Thy special blessings upon each request that was made during the prayer request, and we'll not enumerate them all, Lord. You heard them, and You know each and every one. And we ask that You would continue to bless and to heal and to do Your work necessary in each request that was made. And now, Lord, as we go into the further part of this service, we pray that You would go with us, that You would lead us, that You would guide us, that You would manifest Your presence with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
You know, in trying to think about what I might speak to you about this morning, I want to talk about something briefly that I've heard and seen all my life. You know, I don't know how many of you know it, but I went to school in Athens at the University of Georgia. And when I was in Athens, I was an active Christian, but I wasn't a primitive Baptist then. I knew about primitive Baptists because my grandfather, Willie Bob Torrance, was a deacon in the Primitive Baptist Church. And my mother, even though she raised us as a missionary in the missionary Baptist faith, she always would tell me to listen to Elder Bradley on Sunday night at 10:30. And so when I was in Athens, though, the thought I wanted to get, when I was in Athens, I remember a little road out north of Athens, and you'd go out there sometimes if you were out that way at night. There was a church that had a flashing neon sign, and I can remember thinking about that church. It was just a small country church. It was a missionary church, of course, but they had a flashing neon sign, and it said, "Jesus Saves." And you could see that sign day or night, anytime you'd go out that way. Jesus Saves. And I believe Jesus saves, and I believe that sign is in fact a truth statement. Jesus saves. I know what they are trying to portray, but it's probably not the truth of the matter in what Jesus saves to do. They say Jesus saves if you do this or if you do that. Eternally speaking, Jesus saves his people without the assistance of me or Billy Graham or any other preacher. Jesus quickens and rescues and saves his children from a state of death in trespasses and in sin. And in that state of death in trespasses and in sin, if he waited for them to do something to save themselves so he could save them, there'd be nobody saved. That's a plain truth of the matter. But salvation is of the Lord. And I want to talk to you about the fact that Jesus saves. Now, people that believe that you've got to do something in order for Jesus to save you, anybody that believes that would say that Jesus is not a savior until somebody makes him a savior. Think about that. Unless you do something for Jesus to save you, then he's not your savior. No, Jesus came to this earth and he came to this world a savior. And one scripture that I quote quite frequently, and a lot of primitive Baptist preachers quote quite frequently, found in the book of Matthew, states the surety of the salvation that comes to us from Jesus. You see, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And it records for us in Matthew that Mary, who was the espoused wife of Joseph, was found to be with child. And in that day, when a woman, prior to the consummation of the marriage, was found to be with child, she'd been unfaithful to her spouse or the one she was to marry, she was to be taken out and stoned to death. But Joseph didn't want this for Mary. So he was going to have her put away privately. And while he was thinking on these things, in a sleep, The angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph and said, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived within her is of the Holy Ghost. And then it says this about him. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, there's no doubt about that. That is a shall. It states a fact. Jesus is the Savior. An angel of the Lord declared unto Joseph that Jesus was a Savior before he was ever even born of the Virgin Mary. He was in her womb, and he was a Savior, and he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus indeed is a Savior. Jesus indeed came here to save his people. And he shall, and he did on the cross, in fact, save them. Now I want you to think about this. I've thought about this, and I've put myself in Joseph's position. You're in a sleep and you have a dream. And in that dream, an angel of the Lord comes to you and tells you, even though Mary is pregnant, even though she is with child, fear not, Joseph. That's of the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, up until this day and this time, that has never happened before. Of all the years, hundreds of years, thousands of years, that had never happened before. Was Joseph gullible enough to take that hook, line, and sinker? Yes, he was. I tell you why he was. Joseph was a Jewish man. Joseph was a child of God. Joseph knew the Old Testament scriptures. Joseph knew what Isaiah wrote over there when it said, let me just turn over there to Isaiah and read that. Joseph knew this scripture found in the book of Isaiah. And whenever the angel told him that, it wasn't that surprising to Joseph when he heard that. It says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Joseph knew that scripture. Therefore, when the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph and told him that the baby that was conceived within the womb of Mary was of the Holy Ghost, he believed it. He took it on faith. And the scriptures tell us that then he went on and did as the angel of the Lord had told him. But the thing about it, Jesus was a Savior. He was declared by the angel of the Lord to Joseph before Jesus was ever born that he was a Savior. He didn't have to wait for somebody to make a decision to accept him, or somebody to make a decision to follow him, to make him a Savior. No, he was a Savior. The scripture says, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus the Savior. Now I want to turn over to the book of Luke, where it describes also about the birth of Jesus. And I had the privilege when I was in Israel, with the group that I travel with 9 other Primitive Baptist preachers. Brother Joe Hillreth called on me this morning to read this portion of Scripture because we were visiting that day a place called the Shepherd's Field. Now, the Shepherd's Field was a place where the shepherds were watching over their sheep. And so, after Jesus was born there in Bethlehem of Judea, the son of Mary, the Virgin Mary, the angel appeared unto the shepherds in the night. This had never happened before. You can imagine, they were just about their business, attending to their sheep and their flock by night. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared unto them. It's found in Luke chapter 2, and it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord was shown round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Good tidings, what does that mean? Good news. What is good tidings? Good news. The gospel that Jesus has been born, that Jesus has come. Here was an angel of the Lord declaring, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And then the angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He didn't need me and you to make him a Savior. He was already a Savior. He came a Savior. And here the angel of the Lord declared after he was born in Bethlehem of Judea that he was a Savior. Amen. You know, as a Savior, you know, as Primitive Baptists, we understand and we know that the work of God is to regenerate and save His elect children. That's the work of God. I don't have anything to do with it. Neither does Billy Graham nor anybody else have anything to do with that work. But when God gives a man life, then he has something with which to react to the gospel, with which to react to the things of God. Without that, the scripture said, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God." God is not in all of his thoughts. So if God had just left us alone and waited on us to make some decision toward him, he'd still be waiting for one that would not respond to him. But Jesus saves us, eternally speaking. And after he saves us, eternally speaking, there are many, many, many salvations that we experience throughout our lives as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's a scripture here, and we're going to read about it here. It tells us that Jesus came to save the lost. Now I want you to think about that, because I've been confused on who the lost was until I came to this conclusion. If you believe that salvation is based on something you do, ever how minute it might be, if you believe, well, you just got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, if that's all you believe you got to do in order to be born again, or whatever it might be, you might believe that, you might believe that you've got to come down and join a particular church and be baptized in order to be born again. Whatever it is, if you believe that, to you, the lost is the alien sinner dead in trespasses and in sin, and someone needs to tell him to do something so he can save himself. To you, that might be the lost.
But if you believe salvation is by grace and you have nothing whatsoever to do with the new birth that comes to you by God's power when He quickens you and gives you life, then the lost is the like the person that I'm going to describe in this scripture from the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. A child of God who has lost his way and needs to know what Jesus has done for him. Why? So he can praise and honor and glorify God and worship Him properly for whatever time he's got left on this earth for what Jesus did for him. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. That's why we've gathered together to worship the Lord. But here was a man, and you'll be familiar with this man if you're a scripture reader. There was a man, his name was Zacchaeus. Now Zacchaeus was very interested in Jesus. He heard that Jesus was coming into the city of Jericho. And when he heard that Jesus was coming to Jericho, Zacchaeus, oh, he wanted to see him. He wanted to see him. But see, Zacchaeus was a short man. He was small of stature. And he couldn't see over people. He tried to get to a place where he could see where Jesus might be coming into town. But the people were too tall. He couldn't see over them. He couldn't see around them. So he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus. Found in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And we'll just start at the very first of that. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Now he was a publican. What is a publican? A publican was a tax collector. He was a man that collected the taxes for the city of Jericho. And as a tax collector, you know, none of us like to pay taxes, but we realize we have to pay them. When it comes time to pay our taxes, we just pay them and move on. But this man, Zacchaeus, was a tax collector. And probably in his dealings in collecting money from people, sometimes he probably collected too much and pocketed the excess for himself. He probably was guilty of that. As a matter of fact, he was even accused of that. Here was Zacchaeus. He was the chief among the publicans, and he was very rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Right. Now let me stop right there. Here was a man, Zacchaeus, had climbed up into a tree to see Jesus. Now when Jesus was coming into town, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. But I can assure you this, Jesus knew Zacchaeus was there. He didn't have to look up into that tree to see him. Jesus knew he was there. Also, nobody told Jesus there's going to be a little man in a sycamore tree, and his name is Zacchaeus. No, Jesus knew his name was Zacchaeus. Jesus called him by his name. Zacchaeus had never met Jesus. Zacchaeus had never seen him. He wanted to see him for the first time. How did Jesus know his name? How did Jesus know there was a man named Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree? Because he's God and he knows all things and he knows his children and he knows them by name. And so Jesus looked up and he saw Zacchaeus and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. Jesus received Zacchaeus joyfully, and Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. There was a joyful time there between Zacchaeus and Jesus. And when this happened, those that were around said, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Yes, Jesus came to save sinners. He came, and what did Jesus do with the fact that, in fact, Zacchaeus was a sinner? They knew he was a sinner because he'd swindled them out of some tax money and pocketed it for himself. They knew he was rich because of the things that he'd done that wasn't right in his life. But when Jesus went home with the Zacchaeus, on this occasion, Zacchaeus did some repenting. Zacchaeus did some repenting. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." Now, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about what you should give to the church. 10%, the tithe, more than a tithe, what should it be? Even 10%, which is the tithe. This man gave 50%. He gave half of all that he had to give to the poor. Zacchaeus was doing some repenting with Jesus here. "The half of all I have, I give to the poor." And then he said, "And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. If anybody knows, will come to me and say I have taken anything from you that I should not have, I'll give you back four times what I took." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, if I had $100 to invest and I called Edward Jones, the popular investment organization around little towns, and I told him, "I'm going to give you this $100 as an investment, and 10 years down the road, he's made that $100, $400, I'd say he's done a pretty good job, because that don't happen like that very often. But here was Zacchaeus saying, "Whatever I've taken from anybody, I'm going to restore to them fourfold what they say I have taken from them." So Zacchaeus, here with Jesus, was repenting of the fact that he was a sinner and he'd done things that weren't right in his life. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come unto this house." Now I'm going to ask you, do you think that meant that because Zacchaeus did these things that he received eternal salvation or the new birth? Absolutely not. But he did receive a very vital and important timely salvation as a result of it. And I'm sure after this day, Zacchaeus was a different man and a man who was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and did everything that he possibly could. Even though he still was a sinner and fell short of the glory of God and still probably did things that he shouldn't, yet he was following the Lord and doing as the Lord had instructed him. And Jesus said, "This day is salvation come unto thy house, this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham." And then Jesus said this, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's a child of God that's lost his way and needs to know what Jesus has done for him so he can, as Zacchaeus, follow Jesus and live a better life. Yes, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus came the Savior. Jesus saved his children and his people from their sin. Eternally speaking, and he saves us numerous and very all throughout our lives in a timely way as he did Zacchaeus on this day. I thank you for your attention. Pray for Brother Martin now as he comes to preach to you.